This is Danny and Gallant on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
Time to put on the show.
Employee number three is in, I don't want to say unique position, because all starting quarterbacks get a certain amount of say, a certain amount of stature, a certain amount of swag. But employee number three with the Seattle Seahawks is a guy who, well, he's been here 8 years. He made the playoffs seven times. He's appeared in two Super Bowls and 1-1. So there's certain privileges that come with that status. Paul, should he maybe be throwing his weight around a little bit more, or feel freer to speak his mind than perhaps in the past?
I don't know if I want him to, but to quote all He-Man, by the power of his play over his entire career, he has the power. If he wants to force something to happen right now, say to bring aboard someone that he's been working out with, like Antonio Brown or Josh Gordon, I think he could do more than what he has been doing, which has been posting videos of him working out with Antonio Brown. Okay, we get it, I think.
Yeah.
You want to work with Antonio Brown.
Yeah, he's all for this. In fact, I don't even know if there's that much subtle about it. Here is Emmanuel Acho talking about that.
So for Russ, not only to work out with AB, but to post it. Because it's one thing to do it in private.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? Everybody
right.
know that. Like, a lot of stuff, you know, you can get it done in private.
Right.
But when you come out with it publicly, you want the world to know.
Mm.
And Russ would only want the world to know that he is not only associated with AB, but positively associated with AB if he's trying to tell Pete Carroll, hey, bruh, he's good people. If he's trying to tell John Snyder, the GM, hey, bruh, he's good people. He's good by me. And if he's good by me and I'm the quarterback, he should be good by you as well.
Look, it's there. It is on the table. I think he can go further. I think he could say publicly, it would be great if we added someone like Antonio Brown. I don't think that's tampering. He's a free agent. I think it would be great if we brought in someone like Josh Gordon. And we'll see. I would imagine one of those guys will be on the roster this coming season, but
Gordon's
I'm hoping it's Josh Gordon.
Yeah,
right,
Gordon's
because
be
the thing I think that is the biggest obstacle right now for any team with Antonio Brown is this idea that he's going to be potentially suspended for 8 games or something like that. I don't know what the number would be, but stands to reason that he would be punished less than Josh Gordon, who already was serving a suspension at the end of this past season for PED abuse and on top of that for substance abuse. But whatever the case, if you are Russell Wilson, say it publicly. We get what you're saying right now, but clearly it's not working out. If you say it publicly, maybe you put a little more pressure on the Seahawks. Because I think we're seeing now quarterbacks have as much power as the stars in the NBA. And I think if they want to force something to happen, they have that ability.
No. They're not.
You don't think so?
No. Players in the NBA are changing the actual shape of teams. And they're... When LeBron James can basically sign a contract for whatever length he wants, and he keeps it short so he can exercise control over who else you're going to sign to be with me, and if I don't like what you've done, I'm going to go somewhere else where I don't have to deal with the long-term consequences of guys that I've told you to add because I'm a terrible general manager and I don't know who I should play with. Like, Kawhi Leonard was able to leave a team that won a title. Quarterbacks aren't changing teams. Like they're not even they're certainly in financial, they're getting different financial rewards, but I mean Kirk Cousins is the one guy that was actually able to sort of navigate his way out, and he's a mediocre-ish. Like he's above average. You can debate about how much above average he is. I don't know how much sway quarterbacks actually have in the shape of teams.
If you're under a long-term contract, and we'll see with Patrick Mahomes, you probably don't have the kind of leverage that you want. And one of the things in the NBA that is different about than the NFL, and you're correct in pointing it out, Danny, is that those short-term contracts do put a lot of those teams in a bind. We got to do anything we can to make this guy happy, to make sure that he doesn't leave and go elsewhere, because stars are in such short supply in basketball. There's, what, like five superstars that are really just transcendent talents, and then after that, you maybe got like 10 extra players that can be a foundational piece for a team that's probably not winning you a championship. So you do anything to keep those guys. But my question is, why can't a quarterback that's on the level of a Russell Wilson or on the level of a Patrick Mahomes have that kind of power. If we're seeing it in one sport, in the player empowerment era, it seems natural that this would be something that we would eventually see in football. And I feel like Russell Wilson is one of those rare exceptions who actually has the pelts on the wall, given his play, to be more forthright, to be more outspoken with what he really wants.
If he was going to do that, wouldn't he have to stay on a short-term contract? Like, that's
perhaps
that's kind of the question of, because, and maybe it's just the nature of how NFL contracts work, which is, and I don't blame players, man, there's a huge injury risk, but you want financial guarantees. And with financial guarantees comes you sacrificing. I mean, guys don't even play out the end of their contracts. Like, Dak Prescott's the exception in that he's a quarterback who's considered a franchise quarterback who actually got to the end of his contract almost always. But Russell, he had a full year left on his contract when he set a deadline for when he wanted the extension done by. I think if you really wanted to force teams to do what you want, you would have to get to the point where you could potentially leave. And that's also complicated by the franchise tag, is that even if you get to the end of your contract, you don't know if you could go. It would be that if you're Russell, how confident do you feel that you know what's best? Like, how certain are you that you know what's best for your team and that you know better than, and you're dropping the hints about Antonio Brown. How certain are you that, hey, I know Antonio Brown will work, and it's really just a matter of I need to put the screws to my bosses until I'm able to get them to add him?
That's a good question to ask, because there's also the question of how right is that certainty. But I think any quarterback is absolutely certain that, especially all things offensive, that they know what's up. They're the thing that makes the entire offense work. So they probably look at their knowledge of an offense and think to themselves, what would this unit be with Tyler Lockett in the slot, and on the outside you have Antonio Brown on one side and you have DK Metcalf on the other? Unstoppable? Yes. I think that he has absolute certainty as well, and I think this is a mistake on his end, that he can change people. I think he believes that the power of Russ will compel you, and I think Tom Brady's the same way. I mean, there's a reason Brady was doing the exact same thing with Antonio Brown last year, right? That might be flawed thinking, but I think that it's apparent that these guys are at the top of their game. I mean, my God, Tom Brady is someone that seems to believe that he can't get the coronavirus. You know, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. These guys are absolutely certain. And if you're absolutely certain, I think you can flex a little more than you're actually doing with Instagram videos showing you working out with a crazy person.
Yeah, but if I'm the Seahawks, I just look at it. I'm like, I want him to tell me what he wants. Like, I want more information. I'm not going to feel beholden to it at all. And a big part of that is that I think players are the worst people to trust when it comes to knowing what's in your team's long-term interest. Players are going to be swayed by past performance way more than a general manager should be, because you should make additions based not on what the guy has done, but what you expect the guy to do. And if you listen to players, you're almost always going to end up choosing guys who are past their prime because they've already seen what they can do. The second part of it is that the quarterback, the player, doesn't care at all about the long-term consequences. Like, he doesn't look at what's my salary cap going to look like in 2 years. He's like, don't tell me about the salary cap. Tell me about what we're going to do to right now. And you have to have somebody that thinks in a much different way. So I would just be the really patronizing significant other who would sit there and like stare intently at the wrinkles between the two eyes and tell them about how much I appreciate their. And in the meantime, I'm not going to be wondering if they're telling me about how tough it is to have to throw to three different tight ends, or if they just want to pass the ball more. I don't really care all that much what they say.
And I understand that. And guess what? This is one of a few organizations that has not outkicked its coverage, if you will. You know, if we're talking about this as a relationship, Pete Carroll and John Schneider versus Russell Wilson, I think you could argue that both sides, like, there's a lot that you could say, wow, look at what the Seahawks have done over the last decade. Only New England's done better. Hey, look at what Russell Wilson's done the last 5 years in particular. Wow, it's been really impressive. So maybe in this exception, the way that you're describing it is the only way that this can play out. And honestly, that's probably likely. Say we're in another situation, and I know now we're getting into hypothetical land, but if you're like the Bengals, or you're the Redskins, or you're one of these other just franchises that has been a joke for a long period of time, and all of a sudden you find yourself with this superpower quarterback. Maybe Joe Burrow becomes that in Cincinnati. Maybe Dwayne Haskins becomes that in Washington. I think that conversation can be different. And I feel that at some point we will start to see quarterbacks exert power in the only ways that they can, which might be, you know, chirping up the food chain and going above the chain of command and talking to ownership. They will start making the people at the top do what they want. And I'm very curious to see how that will all play out. Given the way that it's worked out in the NBA, I think it will turn off a lot of people, but the chaos of it all, it fascinates me.
Yeah, baseball is a game where there is similar issues of financial security, where you've seen players choose long-term. It's also a different sport because it's so much more individual-oriented. Like, you don't really... It's a team game played, but it boils down to individual matchups. I'm not sure in football how much you're going to be able to have one player dictate the shape of how that team is going to look going forward. I don't know if you'll ever have the quarterback is the most important player in sports, yet I don't think the quarterback will ever exercise the power that an NBA superstar does. I don't think it'll ever be all that close. No, I don't. Because they depend on so much. They depend upon the offensive line. They depend, even though it is, and that position is so important, that I don't think, in large part, because I don't think they're equipped to make those decisions. I don't think they know how to scout offensive line. I don't think that they know how to manage a salary cap. And all of those things are so much more important. I think a basketball player can understand how he's going to and how he would form a team with two other guys. I don't think a quarterback can really do the same thing.
Have we sort of seen it in Green Bay? And obviously it hasn't worked out in Aaron Rodgers' favor. But Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, they were... very, very founded rumors that those two did not see eye to eye, and whatever they say publicly after the fact, you've got to take that with all the grains of salt. That is a situation where the quarterback sort of flicked the head coach out the door. It took a really long time for it to happen, and I'm sure he regrets it right now, because I don't think he likes what's going on with Matt LaFleur and what the power structure at B is doing, but I can see it happening. I think it's just a matter of the right situation. And I think that in the NFL, outside of maybe like 10 franchises, I do think that it would be possible.
You definitely have power struggles between players and coaches. Like, that definitely happens. And there are times that either coaches run out of time or coaches lose it. I just don't think that you're ever going to have a player be able to exercise more control over the roster, kind of become a deputy coach or a deputy GM. I think that they'll be asked for input, but I don't know if we'll ever see. Maybe we'll. Maybe it's one of the things to watch, because it certainly, maybe people would have said 20 years ago, you're crazy to think that NBA players will be able to dictate the shape of teams like they're doing now. I don't have any problem with Russell posting his workout videos with Antonio Brown. I think it's kind of cute. I think that the message, if anybody had any uncertainty, like, it's clear that he wants to play with Antonio Brown. I don't think that means he should play with Antonio Brown. And that's not even just strictly based on the personal history and the potential suspension and the off-field behavior of Antonio Brown. I think there's a pretty good argument to be put forward of, like, it doesn't make sense on a football, for a football team concept, because I think that thing might explode.
He got mad in a game where he got 17 targets. That is all you need to know about this clown. And yes, I will call him that. I don't like him personally. Like, there are a few athletes where it's more than just sports dislike. I don't like him, and I don't want him here, and I don't think that it would work out well here if he came, because I think he's one of those guys that, as you said, Danny, he's just not a good teammate. And if you're looking to win championships, yeah, he might help you win some games, but he just does not seem like anyone that's anything more than me.
It is Danny and Gallant. It's time for us to go around the NFL.
It's time to go around the NFL. Brought to you by Toyota of Puyallup. The bottom line on the biggest stories in the NFL every morning at 9:15 with Danny and Gallant.
Today's an exceptional day.
Jess!
Hello,
Jess.
Fellas.
How are you?
I always love that
welcome call. Top of the morning.
Call.
I appreciate that.
Top of the morning to ya. We got the Jadeveon Clowney sweepstakes still alive and well, but Titans GM John Robinson says he wants to see the pass rusher in person before making a move.
This is, we're just kicking the same teams around, right? And then every once in a while, a new team gets thrown in to say, like, oh, is there going to be a bidding? Like, first it was the New York teams, right? We heard both the Jets and the Giants. Then it was Cleveland. Now it's Oakland. And then it's basically, it sounds like he's gotten offers from the Titans and the Seahawks, and he doesn't like either of those offers, so he's going to circle around to all 32 teams to see if he can get one of them to goose their offer a little bit to him.
Robinson's full of it here. You can't see him in person? Okay. I mean, I just don't buy that an NFL team does not have the means to send someone under the radar to go see Jadeveon Clowney and talk with him, check him out. And I'm sure that Clowney, who I would imagine wants to get some sort of contract done, would be open to some sort of meeting like that. I get that it's bad optics to potentially throw those meetings in there or to have those, but I mean, New England must have with Cam Newton, you would think, to bring him in for 1 year, even if there's not a lot of guaranteed money. I have a hard time buying John Robinson saying that.
Bills wide receiver Stephon Diggs says he's not comfortable starting back up in a series of tweets where he did say, I love football and I miss football, but he can't say that he's comfortable.
This is an understandable feeling for every athlete, and I would say for every person. I think everybody is dealing with these different decisions. I'm not sure how much wrestling and discussing these publicly is going to help players. They certainly have every right to do it. I don't know if people are going to sort of, whether it's sympathize or empathize with what they're saying, because for a lot of people, they're not having the choice to work right now. And for better or worse, a lot of people will take the attitude that athletes are so lucky to make all of the money they do that they should just play, and they don't want to hear about the existential dilemmas they have. But I totally get it, man. If you're an elite athlete and this is a respiratory infection, even if you think, hey, it's unlikely that this, if I got coronavirus, COVID-19, that it would be fatal, I don't think we have a great idea of how the long-term potential impacts it has on your lungs. I could totally see being uncomfortable.
Right, I can as well. It's a difficult decision, first off, for those guys who are going into like the bubble situations, determining whether or not they want to go and be away from their families for a couple of months, or to go and do what they've been doing for, you know, their careers, which is provide for their family. If you're not playing, you're not going to get paid. So that's a really tricky decision. But here's the reality. You're not going to be comfortable this year. You might not be comfortable next year. And I think right now you have to decide whether or not you're going to be comfortable with the uncomfortability of it all. I think some guys are going to be forced to go down that path, which is unfortunate, and that's why I would hate to be put into that decision. But I'm seeing so much uncomfortable, and I hate to say it because I'm not in this situation. I don't have a family. I don't have to think about other people. But I'd like to start hearing these guys commit as opposed to saying, like, yeah, I don't know how I feel.
Would it be just a matter of wait until you decide? You don't want to hear anything from them until they decide what they're going to do? No public hand-wringing over it?
Right, because I feel like, I mean, it's weird to say that it's counterproductive, but if you're saying publicly you're uncomfortable with it, other people are going to say they're uncomfortable with it. I honestly feel like everyone should make their own decision on it and then make that decision, and then what happens, happens. And if you say no, guess what? People are going to see that probably, and they're also going to make their own decisions. But I think this uncertainty, it's not helping any of these leagues getting back. Because I think right now, all it's going to take is one little mess up in one of these sports for everyone to collectively freak out and just shut everything down.
Well, we're certainly seeing if it's just going to take one. I mean, baseball's testing has been an issue. We have soccer games that have been delayed. That one soccer team that got sent home. I get what you're saying, that it adds to the confusion. I don't mind people discussing their feelings publicly, because I think a lot of people are trying to figure out exactly what the risk level is. What is actually the risk level that they're taking to make sure
and
that
who knows?
Know that.
Right.
AJ Andy Reid, our very lovable coach in Kansas City, says that at the age of 62, he is not even close to retirement. Do you think that he outlasts Pete Carroll?
Oh, that's a great question.
Thank you, Paul. It was very well crafted.
That is a great question. Well, here's the thing. I don't want to shame anyone's body types, but Andy Reid, I think, is probably going to have to think about his physical shape at age 62, don't you?
Well, he was big even when he was little, though. You've seen the picture of him from the punt pass kick competition. Like, he's just an enormous dude. He's big boned.
But Pete Carroll looks like 10 years younger than he actually is, if not more. I mean, Pete Carroll is a spry, young, seeming like he's in his mid-50s kind of a guy, where Andy Reid, who is big, I would be concerned about that side of it.
Now, here's the other thing, though, is that Pete might have a second career, and he might already be on his way to it as a corporate speaker, motivational. Like, he's got a lot of different opportunities. Like, when Pete's done coaching, I don't think he's done being in the public light. When Andy Reid's done coaching, I don't think we're going to hear from Andy again. Like, he doesn't have an idea. Yeah, like, that's going to be... So, I would say in that case, like, it depends entirely upon Andy's sort of how much more he wants to... how much longer he wants to coach, but...
It's going to be hard to walk away from Mahomes, that's for sure. I mean, if would you want to? I mean, because... He has now found someone to cling on to that could potentially make him one of the greatest coaches of all time in terms of success. So I understand entirely his line of thinking right now. He just signed that guy to a 10-year extension, and this is the best quarterback that he's ever had to play with, and he's done such a great job with quarterbacks in the past. But I don't know. If I have to pick between Pete and Andy... I'm going to pick Andy because of Mahomes, but I do have concerns about his health.
Well, Patrick Mahomes certainly is on track and made huge inroads toward being one of the absolute best quarterbacks, off to a fantastic start. Yet somehow people have still put McCart in front of Mahomes. We'll explain what that means next.
You are listening to Danny and Gallant.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
It took a little longer than I thought, Paul. Like, I honestly thought the day that Patrick Mahomes' 10-year extension was announced that we would have the coronation that would occur, and there would be a lot of people who were out there making... incredibly overstated proclamations of Patrick Mahomes' significance. It took 24 hours until I heard the first thing that made me say, come on, man.
He's going to be the biggest star in sports. He potentially could have more impact in marketing than anyone since Michael Jordan.
That's Buster only. And Jordan's the gold standard for a very good reason. Not only was he the most popular athlete in the world, like not just the United States, like he was the most popular athlete in the world, but he caught lightning in a bottle when it came to the actual modern marketing of an athlete. And to say that Patrick Mahomes is going to be the most marketed athlete in the world, how much of the globe plays tackle football? Like how many people recognized Aaron? He might be a really big deal in this country, but like when I heard that, I was like, okay, come on. That's not going to happen. That's absolutely not going to happen. A tackle football is not a global sport. And even if Mahomes is as transcendent in his sport as Jordan was in his, I don't know if he's going to have the same kind of once in a lifetime, once in a century marketing opportunity that Jordan had with his shoes.
Yeah, that's not happening. You don't have a global appeal like Michael Jordan did, like Tiger Woods even did. You just don't have that. Now, you could run the United States of America as far as athlete marketing goes right now. I don't know that there's any one singular basketball player outside of LeBron that has that kind of pull. And I think after LeBron, it's a real question as to who's next. I know a lot of people remember back in the day, for those who might be calling Zion Williamson, I think a lot of people might have thought that about Shaquille O'Neal. That wasn't really the thing that he was best known for. It wasn't his, like, you know, the shoe deals and all that. For Mahomes,
shoes. He had incredibly
good, right?
Janky shoes. He also had his own clothing line at one point. It's hard when you're a big dude in the NBA.
Extra people big don't and like tall.
People don't like the big dudes. Like, it's not the same. Like, Iverson sold way more shoes than Shaq did. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson was much more exciting. It's harder to be a big dude and get marketed when you're in the NBA.
Right, 100%. For Mahomes, what Olney said is wrong. It's just wrong. I can understand why he says that, and I can understand why anyone would say that, because it does seem like this guy is going to be the greatest quarterback of all time 2 years in. It does feel that way. But you got to remember, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been to a Super Bowl since he was 26. That was 10 years ago. 10. Dan Marino made it to one Super Bowl. He never got back. I think right now, going into this season, especially with all of the things that are happening this offseason that are holding teams up, from installing new players, installing new programs, the Chiefs having as many starters coming back this year, theoretically, if Chris Jones is back as well and plays for the entirety of the year, it's hard to imagine someone overtaking Kansas City this season. And really, there's not one team that comes to mind where I'm like, oh yeah, they are right neck and neck with Kansas City. Not even San Francisco, no one in the NFC really, and no one in the AFC either. But what happens next year? And what happens the year after that? And what happens the year after that when guys on the Chiefs get older and all of a sudden they have to replace them? Are they going to nail their draft picks? There's a chance that they don't, and that all of a sudden Kansas City is sort of like where the Seahawks were for a little bit of time, where they're a 10-6 football team. They're good. You don't want to play them, but it's going to be difficult for them to rely entirely on Patrick Mahomes every single season to drag them to a championship. And I got to be honest, I don't buy into their defense. I know that they had a really good second half to last season. I don't think they went up a lot against a lot of really high-caliber offenses. In the playoffs, they played out of their minds, but we've seen bad defenses like the Colts in 2006 go out of their minds, play above their level, get Indianapolis a championship, and never really be that same defense again.
Who's the most successfully marketed football player in history? Is it Brady? Brady had the five layers of protection. He had UGG boots. But it seemed like he largely steered clear. I guess the Facebook Live stuff, Tom Against Time, he's done. And he started his own company in TB12.
Manning did a lot of commercials. I mean, he was doing the all those state, was it Nationwide? He's been doing Nationwide for a long time. I think he was doing
the one that says chicken parm,
well,
you taste so good. Yeah, he did,
yeah.
Papa John's. He
Nationwide.
Was also, yeah.
He was shamelessly plugging Budweiser after a Super Bowl victory. I'm going to go drink some Budweiser.
But okay. Peyton was always marketed as kind of a goof, right? Like that was part of the gag with him. He was not marketed as the cool guy. Like, he's never been marketed as the suave sort of leading man. He never had the style that, like, Joe Namath had. I wonder, as we were talking about it with Mahomes, is Mahomes more marketable than Vic was pre-prison? Because Vic,
no.
Man, you had Vic with a signature shoe. You had the Michael Vick experience that was a roller coaster, that advertisement that they had. Like, Nike, Madden, he was an incredible video game. Like, he is the second greatest video game athlete of all time, behind Tecmo Bowl. Like, all of the different things. Vic was someone who I feel like people, even though his on-field accomplishments didn't match up certainly to what Mahomes has done early in his career, like, Vic might have been more marketed than Mahomes was early on.
I kind of feel bad for Patrick on this front. I think it's going to be hard for him to get that cool side with his voice.
With his voice? His voice
his
is
voice
so
is
awesome.
I think that makes him even cooler.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I love the kind of gravelly voice he has. That question about it. The point you bring up, Paul, about how you forecast success. And you sit there and go and look at all of the quarterbacks and ask yourself the guys that have won two Super Bowls. Like, how many quarterbacks have won multiple Super Bowls that you've seen? Manning has, but the second one comes with kind of the caveat of he won as many Super Bowls when he was a bad quarterback as he did when he was one of the two best guys in the league. He got carried to that second Super Bowl. Roethlisberger won two, but the first one, he was really an afterthought, and he played really poorly in that Super Bowl itself. He was not very good.
And he's probably someone that should have been canceled, if, you know, we go back to some of his past deeds. Oh, wow, you're making an apology now. Cool, Ben.
Eli Manning has won two, but Eli has never been at a point where I would think that people listed him as. Has he ever been in a season where you're like, Eli is one of the three best quarterbacks in the league right now? He's got an incredible career.
Never.
But he's never been considered at the top, in the top three, let alone the best guy in the league.
I'm going to be so annoyed when he makes it into the Hall of Fame because New Yorkers think so highly of themselves. It's really going to bother me. Michael Strahan was more marketable than Eli Manning, I think, during those days. You know, he's got the gap teeth. All of a sudden, we've seen him as a television personality. He was on TV shows. I think he did Subway ads as well. You're right. For quarterbacks, it's been difficult. Dan Marino was in a movie. He was in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't really see a whole lot of him doing
Brett
things
Favre was
like
in
that.
Something About Mary. Brett Favre might have one
That's
of the better cameos in any movie. He certainly picked the right role to it. Russell's in Entourage, I believe. He's made his appearance in a movie.
Brady as well. Favre's an interesting one. Favre's like a regional one. You know, Favre was like, I'm the regional spokesman for jeans. I represent the southeastern way of life, playing football in the mud and jeans.
Yeah, Wranglers. I would say that. He was a national figure with a specific regional flair. Everybody knew Brett Favre. Maybe Brett Favre's the answer to that question of, like, who was the most nationally recognized quarterback over the past 30 years. It might be Favre, just because everybody knew where he was from. Yeah, and he endorsed products where you're like, oh, that totally makes sense exactly yeah. what he was endorsing. Russell, is Mahomes more marketable than Russell?
Oh.
Russell's had a Levi's ad. He's had Bose. Like, Russell's done pretty well for himself. Now, some of the companies that he's partnered with haven't exactly. Nanobubbles didn't take off and Eat the Bread. Both of those, neither one of those actually, or Eat the Ball. I think it was Eat the Ball. It was bread that was shaped like a football. Bread shaped like a football that you could eat. But Russell's been fairly successful as a marketing figure.
If he had gone all in on baseball, I think that it could have been something more than it was. But I think he's a little bit too robotic for that. I think with Mahomes, we don't really know. It's a bit of a blank canvas. He does seem like someone that is not super stuck up. I feel like he is someone that might have a personality, but I don't think we've really seen it thus far. Now, I would expect to see a whole lot of it this coming season. Even though he's in Kansas City, where I don't know that makes it a little bit more difficult or him a little bit less relevant or something. But it's a blank canvas with him. I guess we don't know. That's going to be interesting. I hope that he ends up being an entertaining figure that's more than just a phenomenal football player.
It is Danny and Gallant. It's going to be time for us to wrap up this episode. We'll raise our flags. That's coming up next.
From the pocket, and flags everywhere.
Flag on the play.
Now there's a flag down.
Every morning at 9:45 with Danny and Gallant. Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen.
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
Flag on the play.
This is the time of the show, I always enjoy this, where we kind of get our final word. A parting shot, I think they refer to it, on Outside the Lines, but like it is an opportunity to put a punctuation mark on our show. To end it with a signature moment, whether it's a declarative statement, whether it's an exclamation point, or perhaps a period. And in this case, I think I'd like to go first because I want an exclamation point. Specifically, an exclamation point that sounds like this.
Oh, my God.
I could listen to this so many times.
Oh, my God.
Listen, people, 2020 has been so bad. Please give us Jared Kelenic, right? We deserve it.
Well, certainly you hear that kind of crack of the bat. Because people talk. I have the sounds of baseball are some of the things that are ingrained in my head. I love the sound of metal spikes on concrete. Like, I absolutely.
Me too, Danny.
God, I love the sound. Because anybody who's ever played baseball, and I remember when I was allowed and when we moved out of Little League, and once you got to Babe Ruth and Klamath Falls, you could have metal spikes. Having metal spikes and what that sounds like on concrete, it's it's not nails on the chalkboard. It's the exact opposite to me. The pop of a glove. And as someone who never consistently ever got to hit with a wood bat, this is the most beautiful sound in baseball.
Oh, my God.
Just cranked. And I believe it's Divish that says, oh, my God. I like to think it's Divish. It sounds like him.
Apparently, Kyle Lewis just hit a huge dinger.
I heard that off of Austin Adams.
Yeah, so maybe we'll get some more sound.
Yeah,
we'll talk to him tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Let's go.
We're going to have Kyle Lewis.
We'll ask him about it.
Showtime. Kelnick. Yeah, I've been on the bandwagon of don't rush it. Let's not mess with it. But you're right. 2020's been terrible. If we see him at some point in the big leagues, I'm not going to complain about that. That was watching him crush that ball yesterday was awesome.
My rationale for having Kelnick on the major league squad is no longer based in reason. It is now based on the world might end, given how bad this year has been thus far. We are really only an alien invasion away from it being the worst year ever.
Are you guys
don't summon them, Paul?
No, seriously. Like, there was a headline earlier this week. They're like the bubonic plague. There was a bubonic case of the bubonic plague, and I think Mongolia. I was like, yeah, of course it was. Yeah, totally makes sense. Murder hornets. Murder hornets.
Those
have
are
you heard
the locusts.
About them? Yeah, that's something that we're dealing with as well. Like 2020 is just it has been a terror of pestilent proportions.
Yeah, 350 elephants have passed away like the last 2 months from this random disease that no one knows what's going on. And this is in Botswana. Yeah. Which is very sad. Those are such majestic animals.
Just kind of feels like an X-Files type of year. Not.
Yeah.
You know. I
was 100%. Thinking, plus Unsolved Mysteries came back. That was a movie that or show.
Yes, it's back on Netflix. It's like in your face about it.
I'm not
so good.
Really?
Oh, it's
no,
so good.
You. No,
oh man,
thank you.
I'm addicted to that show. Ugh. I always was, like the old ones. Ugh. And now we got new ones. Are you kidding?
Jess, Hamilton? Who's your flag for?
That's nice.
I am going to raise my flag to Mike Golic, Mike Golic Sr., who is moving on from ESPN Radio. And everyone who finds out that I worked at ESPN headquarters in Bristol always wants to know, like, who the jerks are and is this guy really who he is. And I like to tell people stories of who was actually really awesome, and Mike Golic was one of those to me. Very stand-up person who, after 23 years at ESPN Radio, is moving on. And he is always was just so kind to me. And, you know, he was working with Mike Greenberg at the time. And so I related more to Mike Golic, just, you know, football player kind of guy. And so I was a fledgling, very young person when I worked there, and being a 22-year-old woman working in that environment can be intimidating at times. And when I worked on that show, he could not have been nicer to me. And as much as I'm sad that he is no longer going to be, you know, on ESPN Radio, maybe he'll do something in the future. I know his son has a role at ESPN as well. I don't know. I believe he's going to be on a new show, but Golic deserves retirement if that's what he's actually going to do. And I just appreciate everyone should just know who the cool guys are, not just want to know who the jerks are. And Mike Golic is one of the best guys that I worked with. So I am raising a flag for him today, and best of luck in his future, whatever it holds.
Well said. Lydia.
I'm going to raise a flag for Paul because never ceases to amaze me your ability to quote, some might say, somewhat forgettable tunes. I'll just say unique music, including today. You really brought it back to kind of the high school. I think our high school years, that would be Michelle Branch, which I appreciated.
I think so.
Yeah.
She does it much better than me.
No, I think yours was
you
up there.
You read the lyrics.
It was all right.
It sounded like awful poetry. Like that's what it sounded like. It sounded like poetry. And then you sang it, and then it sounded like a cat screeching awful poetry. And then
what's
you played
it. What's wrong with
it.
The cat screeching?
No, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just describing the auditory. And now we're saluting your willingness to do that.
Yeah,
I don't know how I feel about
this. Thank you, Lydia.
Entirely.
I appreciate that. Make me comfortable singing. I love to sing loud, long, and clear.
I love to sing. There's nothing cliche about it. You're not just digging into the same old hits. You're going out of your way. I feel like in the past it's been, what, like some Coldplay, maybe some...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like really early 2000s, so I appreciate that.
It's weird, Lydia. The music that's stuck in my head, it's like a disease. None of them are good songs. They're all just weird ones.
What's actually interesting is that I don't think the disease is them being stuck in your head. I think it's when it comes spilling out. Like, I feel that that's the slightly infectious and dangerous part. If you just kept them inside your head, I don't think that there would be any sort of CDC issues with that.
I want to sing for all the world to hear.
It's on you, Lydia. That's on you.
You be you, Paul.
Paul?
I appreciate that, Lydia. I'm going to throw a flag at Joe West, which is usually an easy one. Joe West is an umpire in baseball, and per baseball, he's a guy that's at risk. He's a little hefty. He's up there in age. Joe West apparently doesn't think that the coronavirus has killed as many people as it has, saying, when asked about being at risk, most of these people that they're reporting are dying are not healthy to begin with. I've lost 25 pounds over the winter. I'm playing golf every day in the heat. I'm fine. I'm not going to back down now. I don't believe in my heart that all these deaths have been from the coronavirus. I believe it may have contributed to some of the deaths, but he's not going to stop working because of this. And I think this is concerning because think about all the measures that have been put in place so that players don't spread the disease themselves, including arguing with umpires, which, you know, Joe West, given his track record, is going to create a lot of just by his own work. The balls in play is being touched by a certain amount of players having to be replaced. Honestly, I'm a little concerned that Joe West is in charge of things if this is his mentality.
Oh, yeah. It's all about educating yourself about the risks, right? And if he is going into this, if he's been told all the information, he can choose in whichever direction he wants to go. The more troubling thing would be younger people who believe that, oh, even if I get sick, I don't have to worry about it when it's spreading. But yeah, I could see that judgment and your willingness to recognize what's in front of you is part of the requirement of being an umpire.
Well, especially when you're in charge of making sure that everyone is doing what is expected of them. I mean, he, I would imagine, is the person in charge, unless they're adding some, like, secret police umpire that's going to snitch on everyone who spits sunflower seeds. A little concerning.
That's going to do it for us today. We want to thank Michael Bumpus for joining us, the Professor John Clayton, Jessamyn McIntyre, and Lydia Cruz are the bright side of this show. He's Paul Gallant. You're not going to stop him from singing as much as you try.
And he's Danny O'Neill, and he knows that I can show him the world. Want me to keep going? No?
Go to break!
So long. Farewell. You'll hear us tomorrow.